Did you know that in 1972, Stanford University in America organized the first ever esports tournament, the Intergalactic Space War Olympics? However, no prize money was involved yet. The winner received a subscription to Rolling Stones magazine.
You're listening to the Xbox Hub podcast, the official podcast of the xboxhub.com. For the latest Xbox news, reviews, videos, and opinions, make sure you visit thexboxhub.com. But for now, settle down, get comfy, and open your ears for some podcast delights. Hello, welcome to the Xbox Hub official podcast, episode number 38. My name's Gareth Briley. I'm going to be your host. And on my virtual left is Mr. James Burks. How are you doing, James?
Hello, good to be here.
Hey!
You're
that
right.
That was upbeat. That was
no,
more upbeat than
used to it.
My word. Wow, I've never heard that before. I liked it. And on my virtual right is Mr. Edgar Wolfe. How are you doing, Edgar?
Hello. Hey. Good to be here.
You're quite upbeat as well. Wow. It's that July madness. Is that lockdown madness? Lockdown's easy and they're going mad.
Hey, it's a good day to be alive.
Yeah, we can. I like this. Wow. Right, gentlemen. After that upbeat beginning, what have we been doing this week? James, what have you been doing? Anything fun?
Well, you might not find it fun, but I've been watching Sword Art Online again in anticipation of the new game coming out this Friday. Have you ever seen it?
Let me sell it to me. Pitch it to me.
Okay, I'll try to simplify it. It's an anime, and the characters in the anime go into a VR world. So they play the game inside the show. And the original story arc sees them trapped in this game world. And if they die in the world, they die in real life. But if they can beat the main boss, they can survive and go back to their normal lives. So it's quite an interesting anime. It's a gaming-based anime. So, I don't know if you would enjoy it. You're not really into games, are you?
Oh, my word.
But it's a mixture of comedy, action, great visuals.
And have you played one of the games before? Is this the first game?
Yeah, I played Fatal Bullet, which was like an RPG.
Okay.
That was 2 years ago, I reviewed that. It was good fun. It was a bit lonely. It's supposed to be an MMORPG that it's based on, but you're just playing your own for most of it.
Okay.
So,
you don't meet anyone?
Well, you can go online and do little missions, but the main story is all on your own.
Oh, okay, you can't play with friends or anything. Right, I'm with you. So I thought you meant in the RPG, you're just walking around an empty world.
Oh, no, there's tons of characters.
Okay, right. That's a strange concept.
It could be a good concept.
Shadow of the Colossus, RPG.
So you haven't been watching that.
Edgar, you ever watched it?
Yeah, I watched the first season, but after that, it kind of got a little weird for me. Ooh. I believe it's halfway through the first season where the main character's stepsister seems to fall in love with him or something.
Yes.
And it gets really, really weird after that. But I love the first half. The first half is great.
Wow.
Yeah, I've just finished the first half again. And it's such a good arc.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to the game.
I did a Let's Play for a game called Crosscode. I think it comes out today, maybe? This week.
When you listen to this, it'll be out. It's out on the Thursday.
Oh yeah, it'll be out on the Thursday, so it was yesterday. Yeah. And that had a similar kind of concept behind it, that you play an avatar who's part of a video game in the world. Yeah.
Is that game by Namco?
No.
No?
No, it isn't. I don't think it is. I think it's by Deck 13.
Code 13. Because right. Namco publishes the Sword Art Online games.
Okay.
Certainly.
I think this is much more of a lower budget. But it's good. It's a nice little kind of like, it's really old school retro. I really enjoyed it, actually. Good. Right. I won't be watching that, but very good. Other people will.
It's on Netflix. It won't cost you anything.
I'm going to watch it. Edgar, what have you been playing? Watching. What have you been doing this week?
I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, more so than usually. Been listening a lot to older episodes from Joe Rogan. Listening to Two Bears, One Cave,
What's that?
It's basically a comedy podcast featuring two relatively famous comedians, Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer. They were often on Joe Rogan. They're friends, and they're hilarious.
And you've been watching. You've just been going through all the caning it. Have you been catching up?
Well, not all of them, but I've probably listened to like 5 or 6 lengthy Joe Rogan podcasts and 2 or 3 episodes of Two Bears, One Cave. Okay. So it's a good chunk of time, I would say. It's probably like 15 hours of podcasts.
Wow. Well done. And what's the other thing you've been doing?
Watched The Thing right on the weekend.
Okay.
It's my go-to movie when I'm in the mood to have a glass of bourbon. Because the movie's main character drinks whiskey throughout the whole movie. So it's kind of become this, I would say, tradition pastime for me. Whenever I drink bourbon, I am likely to watch The Thing and vice versa.
Now, we talked about The Thing, I think, when we interviewed you for your first one, your favorite movie.
We touched upon it.
Yeah. I like the drinking stuff with it. There's lots of films that are associated with drinking games, isn't it?
There are, but for some reason, The Thing, for me, is the one. I don't know why.
I like The Thing being that one. I've never heard of that one before. Mm. And so do you have just one bourbon or do you have a bottle all the way through it?
No, just one glass.
as it gets more tense.
I'm not that good at drinking. Like, I think I've had three portions at the most.
Wow. Good. I like that. Nice bourbon. Settle down. You're never going to watch The Thing, are you, James?
I have seen it.
You've seen it?
I know. I think I saw the remake.
All right.
And it wasn't very good.
No. Which isn't really a remake. It's a prequel.
It's a prequel, It ends where the first movie begins, isn't it, I think?
They are. I've heard that they are going to make a remake and include more details from the book. So it's going to be like the original movie, but with more stuff from the book, with something we haven't seen before.
Right. Okay. Good. I like that. I've been watching the new the Penny Dreadful series, which was a Showtime show that had 3 seasons, and it was set in Victorian England, and it played around with the idea of vampires and werewolves and all manner of beasts and monsters, Frankenstein, all thrown together in this kind of in London in Victorian times. And I really enjoyed it. It was a nice by an English writer and director. And it did very well, even though it kind of finished a bit weirdly, but, you know, it did very well. And now there's a new series on Showtime that you can watch all in one go if you've got Sky or Now TV. And it's Penny Dreadful, City of Angels. And I'm sort of been watching 3 episodes, or maybe I'm on the 4th episode, set in 1938 in Los Angeles. And so it's dealing with kind of like the supernatural again, and this time this kind of angel of death, these two sort of like angels, one's good, one's bad, well, they're both bad, I think, and Nazis, the rise of Nazism, and it's good. If you like Penny Dreadful, if you like that universe, it's worth giving it a go. It's interesting about race, it's interesting about it deals with those things, but it still has got this very magical realism kind of feel to it. So I'll be watching that. I'll tell you a bit more if I like it all by the end of it. Yeah, it's worth giving it a go.
Enjoy the original.
Yeah. It's good that it's in a kind of shared universe as well. So give that a go. Have you seen it, Edgar?
I haven't, but sounds interesting. I love the vampire and supernatural thematic, so I might watch it sometime.
Yeah, watch the first lot. You can catch them. And the next thing I've been doing, because when we do this podcast, we have to sort of prep when we're going to, how we're going to do our schedule. We'll see who gets involved. And of course, we've got two big ones coming up, two conferences. And the first one, we're going to do a podcast next week on the Monday instead of Wednesday, because we're going to do it straight after the Ubisoft conference, which is going to happen on the Sunday night here, I think. So we're going to be doing our podcast on the Mondays so it can go out. And that's the first one. And the next one, of course, the Xbox Series X first party conference, which is coming out the following week on the 23rd of July.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So first of all, you two, just off the thoughts, we'll find out more. Ubisoft, what do we think? What's our predictions there? The things we know is they're going to do an hour before and look at some of their older games.
The games that no one cares about now.
Yeah. You're going to be able to get your Trackmania. You'll be able to get a copy of Watch Dogs 2, is that right? I don't know if that's on PC. For free. And then they're obviously going to talk about Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and they're going to be doing Watch Dogs Legion, and what else have we got? Oh, yes, which is the new kind of like the new Battle Royale girl. It is quite interesting. I've seen it a bit on Twitch.
We've had enough, haven't we?
We've had a lot of Battle Royale. But this one's quite interesting that you can go on the roofs, can't you? So it's got a verticality kind of feel to it. And I think when the thing squeezes in, like, what's the word? Like on Pudgy, it's a blue circle on a...
Oh, yeah, where the map shrinks.
Yeah, it destroys the buildings.
Yeah.
So if you're on a building, it would destroy. So it has a very different, and a little bit of a different feel, but I know what you mean. We are a bit bored of it.
Yeah, it's giving me some special abilities the characters can do as well. It's going to be more Fortnite than PUBG. I think it'd be more unrealistic.
What other... Let me bring over Edgar. What surprises, if any, are going to happen? What are you looking forward to?
So I need to give a short backstory on this, because there was a game, if you remember, on the 360 and PS3 called Scott Pilgrim.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And it released in 2010 and was pulled from the stores across both consoles in 2014, I think, sometime around then. So unless you already own it, there's no real legit way to obtain it now. Recently, the author of the original graphic novel, Brian Lee O'Malley, tweeted to basically bring back Scott Pilgrim, the game. I think Ubisoft, I don't think they confirmed it, but it's a general consensus that they removed it because of licensing issues. They basically ran out of the license. They lost it.
Right.
So he tweeted, and Ubisoft tweeted back at him with a thinking face, like the emoji. So what I'm hoping for is that they might announce a re-release of some sort. On Sunday. Also, they released the game digitally only. So again, there was no physical version, and as of now, there's no other way to obtain it unless you already own it.
Wow,
so I'm
didn't
hoping
know that.
For that. Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one. James, what about you?
I'd be happy to see a new Tom Clancy game. Something to keep us going after Division 2. Maybe Division 3.
Oh.
Or a Rainbow Six Remastered. I don't know.
Yeah. Because Rainbow Six Siege is very popular, isn't it?
And, yeah.
And are they going to do... Were they going to do another Rainbow Siege, like a sequel to that? That's one of the rumours, isn't it?
Yeah. Because they've supported that for, I think it's about 5 years now.
Yeah, it's still going strong.
It's massively popular.
Yeah.
But Tom Clancy needs a presence at the Ubisoft event. Whatever series it is, I hope there's something there.
Well, the big rumour, isn't it, that it's Splinter Cell, and that's been a rumour going on for about 3 years now. So whether there's a new Splinter Cell for the new consoles.
It'd be the right time to do it.
But Ubisoft have got... Let's just talk through some of the games that we're still waiting for from Ubisoft.
Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones. That's still to come, isn't it? The boat game. The other one, of course, is Beyond Good and Evil 2, which is, I don't know when did that happen, that big reveal in E3? It's about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe?
I think it was 2018. Maybe, the trailer. Maybe 2017 then. They have shown a little bit since, haven't they?
Yeah, not a lot. And of course, we've got Watch Dogs Legion, which we look like we're going to get a lot more information about, which was meant to be coming out originally in March this year.
Mm-hmm.
There was some images that got released, and then in the images there was a calendar in one of the images and a date, and had a circle around it, didn't it? Have you seen this, you two? No. Maybe I dreamt it.
No.
So this thing had a circle around it, and the date was September the 16th. So everyone's thinking, are they saying this is a release date? Are they going to release Watch Dogs Legion this year?
Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah. So what do we think about that? September the 16th, if they suddenly say Watch Dogs is out then. Do you think they're going to do that?
I think it is a free upgrade to new consoles. I think it's a good idea to get out there as soon as possible. But, I don't know. Has the hype died now in that game? Are you really that interested?
I am.
Hearing about it.
I mean,
I've lost all interest.
Have you?
Yeah. I've heard nothing for it so long.
I mean, it is mad that there's nothing. You haven't heard anything about it for a while.
It's supposed to be out.
I mean, you have got two... Ubisoft games that are big ones. So you've got Assassins and you've got and Watch Dogs, as they both come out, as well as their other kind of things. So, I mean, they've done that before. They've released four big AA titles in the same period, haven't they? In that same...
Yeah, as long as they're different types.
Yeah.
It works.
Edgar, what do you think? Watch Dogs? September?
Yeah, I guess it does play some significance.
Do you know Yeah. Sorry.
Why would they circle the date?
Yeah. Do you know why I think that might be a thing?
Sure.
It's because Cyberpunk's gone. It's moved. Mm. Which was that was it. That was around about their date, wasn't it?
Oh, right. Yeah.
So.
You see an opportunity.
So maybe.
Get in there first.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll find out.
Because they want to compete with Cyberpunk.
Yeah, because if they release during the same time as Cyberpunk 2077, the sales are going to be awful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it could be a very busy autumn. You know, with the new consoles, and so with the Xbox first part, the ones we're seeing on July 23rd. Just briefly, what do we think? What we know, we're going to get our Halo. We talked last week maybe about a Fable. Perfect Dark rumor. Edgar, what do you think? Are you thinking of any? Have you heard anything else? Any rumors of something else?
I haven't, but I guess if I was hoping for anything, then maybe some sort of an announcement from regarding what Obsidian is doing, because Microsoft purchased Obsidian, right?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
The developer of New Vegas.
Yeah.
So maybe some sort of announcement from them. Maybe they're making a new RPG or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully.
James, what about you?
I would quite like another Forza. Or
Okay.
something about a
Yeah,
Forza.
yeah. Even if it was the normal Forza.
If that's all we can get, I'd take it. But I prefer Forza Horizon.
I would take Horizon in
Yeah.
Japan.
Oh, that'd be
That'd be
good.
amazing.
That would be very
So
good.
good.
That'd be very good.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they
We need
really
it.
need. I think they need that
Yeah.
for that launch of that new console. That Halo and maybe, like you said, something else new. It's their own. Will be exciting. Good. Well, we'll find out very soon. Not that far away. Now let's do questions. I don't think we've done this with Edgar with normal questions, have we, Edgar? We've always had you doing something else. So
We did on the first
the
episode.
first one, didn't we? But
Yeah.
not every episode we ask our guests a series of questions to get a deep analysis in my folders, my memory banks of them. So three questions. We're all going to answer them. Question one, what's a saying you say a lot? So, do you want me to start to give you an example?
Yeah.
So, I always say quite a lot, do you see what I mean? That's why I end up saying a lot to people. Do you see what I mean? Which is a ridiculous thing to say. Of course, they see what I mean. What am I asking them? I might ask them to say something like about, shopping, and I might say, well, we need some potatoes. Do you see what I mean? It's ridiculous. I'd say that too much. That's mine. James, what about you?
I think mine's probably quite similar. It's just, do you know what I mean? It's quite a northern thing. I think everyone says that now.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Or indeed.
I've got a
Just
neighbour who
saying
just shouts at me, just talks to me, and says, "I was down the shops. Do you know what I mean?" And that's all they
that.
do. And everything they say, they actually, do you know what I mean? It frightens the life
Yeah, I
out of
don't do that often.
me.
That's quite irritating.
What about you, Edgar?
I don't know.
Ooh.
I think I probably often say Jesus Christ.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
I think way too often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do that as well, but I just go, Jesus. That's what I do a lot. Just on his
Yeah.
own. Question two. If you were called on to be a government spy, you have to change something about yourself. What would it be? And what would your code name be if you had to choose it? So when I say you have to change something about yourself, you might have to have a different voice, or you can change something to make yourself different.
Definitely a different voice.
What would your voice be, James?
Something a bit deeper.
Your voice is not that, it's quite deep.
It?
No, not then, not when you did
Yeah,
that. So deep voice, big husky deep voice.
definitely.
What deep voices do you like?
Oh, now you put me in this rock. Oh,
You have a think
I
about
don't
that.
know.
Come back next
Yeah.
week. What would your code name be?
Oh, Blue Thunder.
Blue Thunder.
Yeah. Don't know why it suddenly came to my head.
Thunder, I like it. Edgar, what would you have to change? What's the one thing? I don't know why the MI5 are doing this. Like, yeah. But you've got to get it done.
I'd probably become a blatantly obvious spy like Austin Powers.
And so you have the whole wig and the glasses and everything.
Yes, so I'm so blat I look so much like a spy that I'm probably not a spy.
Good call.
Good.
Hidden in plain sight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what would your code name be?
Polka dot something. I don't know yet.
I hope it's just polka dot something. That's
Yeah.
good. Good. I like that. Polka dot something. Polka dot something and Blue Thunder. I would get. I would get. I don't know why I would get hair, different hair. Like really thick, dark hair. That's what I like. Curly hair. Don't know why.
Right, Sash from Guns N'
Yeah.
Roses.
Yeah. That's it. That's my hair.
Oh.
And I'm going to call myself Mirable.
Yeah.
Mirabel.
Well,
Yeah.
we say fancy for
Mirabel.
Mirable, Blue Thunder, and Polka Dot something. Saving the world.
Good.
Charlie's Angels.
One looks like Austin Powers. The other one's got black curly hair. The other one's got a really deep voice. Right.
I just move talk everyone.
Yeah. Last question. Which is the one show you cannot watch with anyone? Now, I don't mean anything rude or dirty.
Oh, no.
Is there a show that you... Shall I tell you what I do? When I, it's Rick and Morty with me. I have to sort of watch that on my own.
Without interruptions.
Yeah, and I think when my partner's come in, she's gone, what's going on here? What's this? Why is that cartoon? It's one of the things I kind of like would pause.
Just turn it off to say, you've ruined it now.
Yeah, I turn it off or I just watch it on my own. Anything that you've got? James?
It's for me. Anime, to be fair. Anything anime, I just get so deeply invested into it, I don't want any distractions. So, let's pick one. Probably Dragon Ball.
Okay. Amazing. What about you, Edgar?
I would probably say Californication with David Duchovny.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Because that's a really, really, like, I mean, I can see... I'd say I don't think someone would want to watch it with me. Like, it's something that you really need to be into that kind of thing.
And it does get quite outrageous at points.
Yeah.
I can understand that. Good. Good answers. Right, would you rather? Very three quick questions. James, butter or margarine?
Butter.
Hot tub or hot pot?
Hot pot.
History or geography?
Geography.
Again, these are yours. Ice or fire?
Ice or fire?
Mm.
Ice.
Okay. Gin or whiskey?
Whiskey.
Laser quest or paintball?
Paintball.
Okay, good. Thank you, gentlemen. That's the questions. Locked away in the file. What games have we been playing this week? Let's start with James. What have you been playing?
I've been playing a very classic real-time strategy game this week. Ooh. Age of Empires 2. Well, it's the definitive edition. It's on Game Pass. So I thought I'd give it a go. It's pretty long.
On the PC, this is, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
Game Pass PC. Sorry. Basically, you build a civilization, train troops, conquer the world. What more could you ask for in the game? World domination.
No, I have
something like Civilization, right?
Yeah.
Along those lines.
Very similar. But it's addictive. Just to farm the land and send your troops out in packs to do a little bit of scouting. It's such an in-depth game. I'd definitely recommend playing it. And you play it online as well. With friends. Like multiplayer.
How does it work online?
Well, you can play in teams of four, or you can play a free-for-all. Like eight of you.
And you're working together?
You can make alliances. Right. You can have enemies. You can trade with people. But the idea is to destroy everyone. So you can do a temporary alliance and then kill everyone off and then kill each other at the end. Or you can just take out one by one on your own.
Well, could you live in harmony with them?
Yeah, but you don't win if you don't. You've got to really destroy everyone around you. It's the only way.
Now, I haven't played this for a long time. I played this when it was on the PC in the 90s, it feels like. So
yeah, 99.
Is it a new improved? Does it look good?
Oh, it looks a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's more races and civilizations.
Good.
You get the British, the Celts, Bulgarians, Japanese, Chinese, Koreans, It's tons.
Okay.
So much choice.
So you like doing a sim game?
Yeah. Good. I actually enjoy it.
So I review most of the sim games on the Xbox Hub, so it's good that James is going to take over some of those. I'm quite pleased about
it's,
that.
It's not going to happen. It's a good try.
Edgar, you like Sam? Have you played it before, Age of Empires?
No, haven't.
Do you fancy that?
You mean the Age of Empires?
Yeah, do you fancy giving that a go?
Maybe sometime. Like, it seems like a very... Like, it requires a lot of time investment, which is what scares me off.
Yeah, it does. It does take a while.
Anyway. Good. Well, we'll give that a go. Is that coming to the Xbox at some point? I thought it was. Did it get shown off at one point that it was coming over?
Don't think so.
One of the E3s or something, a couple of years ago.
It's probably a false advertisement, as usual.
It makes sense that it goes over.
You can either optimize it to work on Xbox. You know, just have to pull it over, sort a few controls out.
Well, they do it a lot now. They're getting better at that.
Yeah, I think they're getting better at that. Yeah.
What are you playing, Edgar?
I'm playing Metroid Samus Returns on the 3DS.
Wow.
And I haven't played a Metroid game since, like, 2005 on the GameCube, which was the 3D Metroid Prime 2.
Right.
And Samus Returns is a reimagining of the second of the original Metroid games from like the late 80s, maybe early 90s. It's really good. It's surprisingly good. I didn't expect to like this, to delve into the whole Metroid universe and explore these desolate, creepy levels, collect upgrades, fight monsters, bosses, destroy Metroids. Really fun.
Wow. Why did you get your 3DS out again?
The Metroid game was on clearance in Argos. So I'm kind of obtaining older 3DS games now. So I thought I'd give it a go because I wanted to at some point, and seemed like a good time to do it.
Good. So you're enjoying it?
Yeah, very much.
I don't think James, have you ever played a game? Have you played a Metroid game?
I've never played a Metroid.
I don't think game. I have.
I played a Metroidvania.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
And that puts me off.
Yeah.
I hate those games. They do my head in.
Why do you hate them?
Too much backtracking.
Okay. Is there a lot of backtracking in this, Edgar?
I don't mind that. Because I think even with the backtracking, it doesn't really end up like a too long of a game. I will guess that it's probably around 15, maybe 20 hours in length.
Mm. All right.
I don't know yet, but that's my guess for now.
Yeah. Good. Right, good. What have I been doing? I'm still playing The Last of Us Part 2. I must be near the end. How many hours I put into this game. I think I've spent too long just wandering around everywhere. I could keep stopping and doing other stuff.
But what are your thoughts on it?
I think it's brilliant. I think it's a work of genius.
Because there's a lot of, controversy and a lot of talk surrounding that game.
I think I said a couple of weeks ago, it's a masterpiece in storytelling. It's a masterpiece in kind of like what it does with a game, the gameplay and everything else. It's very linear. Mm. You know, sort of open world areas, like a bit like, do you remember in we played the Uncharted, that little side episode of the Uncharted, which had with the two women who had
The Last Legacy, yeah.
Yeah, reminds me of that open world, that kind of sense of open world. You can look at something and go, but it only happens a couple of times. But the breadth and the depth of the story and the gameplay is amazing. And it's so hard to talk about without talking about it, you know, about the story. So I won't do that, but it does things that are really surprising. And it's gruesome.
What I wanted to, sorry.
Yeah.
what I wanted to ask about those particular story segments, which we won't talk about, but you know what I'm talking about. You probably know what I'm talking about. Does that sort of put you off the game, or you don't mind?
No, not at all. Nothing about it. It's just, I mean, it would do if you're kind of like in that, if you have an idea of what you want a sequel to be. So if you go, that's the problem sometimes, isn't it? This is what I always have problems with people with, like, you know, when they go, you need to change the Mass Effect ending, or you need to change all the Star Wars films, because it's not how I imagine they should be. You know, it drives me mad. It's like with this, it's like they've made a decision and they've gone down this route.
Yeah.
And for me, it's brilliant. And they really do it amazingly well, and they craft it well. It's beautifully acted, beautifully designed. And but it is their decision. You're watching something, you know. You could easily do something. Just read some fan fiction if you want that story to go another way. That's my thing. But it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I mean, we talked about it last week about the length and about it being too long. I kind of wish I sat down for like 4 days and played it all, you know, and just gone for it. But I haven't. I've done it in bits because of work and everything else. So,
isn't it weird that people complain about length?
Hmm.
I mean, I said about The Age of Empires that the time investment is putting me off, but like, I wouldn't necessarily call it a negative. It's just that maybe I don't have that much of time, but if I want to enjoy a good story, is it really a negative that it's like 20 hours long?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. I totally agree. And also with this one as well, it's taking you something new every 5 minutes. Mm. It's not like you're to sort of grind and repeat stuff again and again. You know, it's nothing like that. You're just getting pushed along all the time to new places and new things, except for some of the combat, of course. But even the combat feels, you know, risky. It feels alive. It feels, you know, it's fascinating all the time. Yeah, it's really hard to talk about. I think we should maybe do, like, I think other people have done, maybe the people who have played it would do a special podcast to talk about it all, because it is like, it's amazing when you play it. Play it.
I haven't played it yet, but I would love to talk about it, because I know about the spoilers already anyway, so I think it's a safe talk, you know.
Yeah.
Branded something like The Last of Us podcast with spoilers, something like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good. And the other game I've been playing is the same kind of standard of quality. Is it called the Demolish and Build, which I'm reviewing at the moment. And Demolish and Build is like a constructor game where you have a hammer and you're in this weird sort of town with strange buildings. It's not meant to be strange. It's just designed that way. And you go off and you get a first job. You're in the casino. You got your hammer and they say, take down the casino. Take down 10 wheels.
I want that job.
Yes.
So you've only got a hammer.
Well, first of all, you've only got a hammer. You take down the casino. And then the owner of the who's giving you the job, is something called like Either Work A Lot. He says to you, you're sacked. You've done something wrong.
How can you do a bad job at taking down a casino?
Well, he told me to break down these ornate lions statues, which is what he told me to do. I did that, and he said they were really valuable. You're sacked.
Even though, set you up.
Yeah, he set me up. And then your mate, I can't remember his name, not very good, mate, he rings up and he says, why don't we go into business together? Here's 13 grand I've just put into your account. He gives me the money first before he asks me the thing, which I think is madness. And then he says, go and buy an office. So off I go and I buy an office, and then we've got a construction business. And basically, you go around, you can then get machines like bulldozers, and you get jobs around town. Like the one I was doing yesterday was cleaning out some toilets, like demolishing toilets. Wow. I mean, it looks like you expected. It looks like it's a game on a phone. It's on Switch, I think, as well.
story sounds great.
The story's great.
Who wrote it, you know?
I don't know. It's brilliant. It's The Last of Us. It's sacrosanct. But it's, you know, it's something quite addictive about it. Like, I always play these terrible games, and there's something quite addictive about it. It's fine. I quite enjoy just banging around, knocking down casinos. Yeah. But, you know, that's what it is. Demolish and Build. I think it's out now. I think I've done a Let's Play on it. You'll see it on Twitch. If you go on my Twitch, DB Brighty, you'll see me playing it. Yeah,
give it a watch.
I think it's about 16 quid. Maybe it's a bit more. Good. That's the games. Let's talk about news. I'm going to go straight to Edgar. Edgar, you got some PS5 exclusive news.
Are you talking about Silent Hill?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, so it seems like Konami might announce a new Silent Hill game in August, because there seems to be a persistent rumor. I think it was coming from a user on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to be quite plausible at this point, because this rumor has been circulating for, I think, at least a month, maybe two. And we haven't had a new Silent Hill game in a while. And it being a PlayStation exclusive also makes sense, because the canceled Silent Hills game, I think, was supposed to be a PlayStation exclusive, but that didn't pan out because Konami canceled it. But now, if the rumors are true and Sony's actually funding the development, of course it's going to be a PlayStation 5 exclusive.
And because we haven't had the PlayStation launches yet, have we? We've not had any launch. We haven't said, they haven't said these are our launch titles yet, have they? Can't remember that. It seems like a lifetime ago, that PlayStation thing.
I don't think so.
No, they didn't actually say. They said these are the games. But
you can guess which ones. But you haven't confirmed it.
None of them have been confirmed, have they? Maybe there's a couple that got confirmed, but there wasn't the
big ones. Gran Turismo.
Yeah. But yeah, so do you think this would be a launch title then?
No, definitely
not. You think
it'd
just be revealed?
Yeah, it's going to be an announcement, a trailer, a teaser at most.
Okay.
I don't think they have anything like gameplay wise to show. I have a theory. Yeah.
Go on.
I feel like it could be a remake and not a new game.
Ooh.
I think it could be a remake of Silent Hill 2. And I have one or two good reasons as to why it could be. First one is that Konami released the Silent Hill collection on Xbox 360 and PS3 way back when. But they developed it based on an unfinished version of the game. Basically, they've lost the source code of the game, of the original. So the final product, the collection, came out in a very poor state. Like, there were assets missing, there were glitches, bugs, and whatnot. And I think it would make sense, since they can't really bring the old version back to other platforms, it would make sense to just make it from the ground up again.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
And it's probably the most popular in the series. It's very iconic. And recently they released the DLC for Dead by Daylight, which includes the iconic Pyramid Head, which is from Silent Hill 2. So I'm feeling like it could be a nod, sort of, like a hint that they might be working on something related to Silent Hill 2 in particular.
Good. Good shout. Was it the Silent Hill game that got cancelled? Is that the one with Norman Reedus and? That's the famous PT.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. James, will you be playing Silent Hill?
Probably not. I've seen the films.
Have you?
The first one is pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first one, to be fair.
Now, James, your next bit of news is going to be the WWE. It's, you're the person for this. Talk us through this. It came today.
It certainly did. It's WWE 2K Battlegrounds, and it's like an arcade wrestling game with over-the-top characters and ridiculous moves. And they released, we didn't release it, they announced the release date today. And it's coming out on the September 18th. So it's only a couple of months away.
But it's got career mode and everything, isn't it? That's what I see.
Yeah, it's got a career mode where you play as different original characters alongside real life characters. So like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Daniel Bryan, Andre the Giant, which I'm sure you've heard of, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, all the big names. It's going to be over the top.
But it's going to be, it's like a fun thing, isn't it? It's more like...
Yeah, like WWE All-Stars, okay. If anyone's played that. I know you haven't.
But... I know it is, though. I don't know what it is, weirdly enough.
Yeah.
Now, this is because normally you're... What's your normal wrestling game that comes out every year and is terrible?
It's a yearly title game. So it would have been WWE 2K21.
And that's been cancelled, is it now? Is that happening this year?
Okay. Which is, we don't, because last year was horrendous. it really let everyone down. Boats galore.
Yeah.
It was just a mess.
And so this is replacing it. This is hopefully,
I think it's just having a break.
Yeah.
Until they work out how the heck they're going to redeem themselves in the realistic versions. But it looks so much fun. And you've got power-ups. Fire, lightning, and you can cause earthquakes. Not often you can say that.
This reminds me of that basketball game, the one when your hoops used to go on fire.
NBA Jam?
NBA Jam, yeah.
What I thought too.
Yeah.
It does.
Do you fancy this, Edgar?
It actually looks very interesting. I like the sort of cartoony look of it.
Mm.
The ridiculous setting, like... There's going to be helicopters and alligators involved. Sounds
good. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, I said to James before, I could never get past in the other games, basically the tutorial. It was just too complicated. So having something that's a bit more fun and a bit more accessible and actually works could do it really well. This could be the new wrestling game.
It's relatively well priced as well. It's only £35
on
release. So it's cheaper than most of their games. It'd be fun. I'd recommend, if you're interested in it, pick it up.
Good. Next one is, I'm going to sort of blend two news stories in here. We had the release of, we had the sort of like debate this week about video game prices, didn't we? And it was, first of all, what was the game that said, is it NBA 2K? Yeah, okay. And they said for the new generation, for the PS5 and Xbox Series X, there's going to be an extra $10. So it's going to be $60. Is that right? Have I got that right? Or is it $70 for them?
$70.
Mm. And it's normally between $49.99 and $59.99, isn't it? So, and that there was a sense that that's what's going to happen with a lot of games, isn't it? That they're going to be in this price range. Going to be sort of $10
for next gen,
which maybe for us $5 or $6. And first of all, what do we think about that? Before I go into the next bit,
it's annoying because I think if anything, they should stick with that price that it is now for the big games, but cheapen it for the old gen and the current gen, so you should knock money off. If you get it on, say, Xbox One X, but it should be charged at, say, £50 on the Series X. I don't think it should go up. I think that would be quite off-putting to most people.
Edgar, what do you think? Before I wade in with my controversial...
I mean, after 15 years, I read that it's been 15 years since the last price increase. It kind of makes sense now. And if 2K does it, everyone will do it. Another thing that I have to say is that we've been complaining about digital prices for a very long time. As a rule of thumb, digital games are always more expensive, significantly more expensive than physical mm-hmm. games upon release. It's often like 10, 15, sometimes £20 here in the UK. What I've been thinking for a while now is that their goal has been to bring the prices of physical games in line with the digital versions. So let's say a game is £55 upon release digitally. They're going to bring the physical versions to that level. And then we can't really complain. Both versions are the same price. What are we going to do?
I see your point.
I think that's their goal. That's just a guess, really. I'm not basing it on any market or financial analysis, but I've been thinking on it for a while, and it sounds pretty plausible.
It's a hard one, isn't it? Because I've for every generation of consoles, the new console games that I always remember, they were always more expensive to begin with. They were always kind of full price, or they were always £5 more. Even with the Xbox One, they were £5 more than an Xbox 360 game at that time. So there is a sense that at the beginning, it always starts like that. And I think, you know, we always talked about the digital pricing, and one, someone told me this, someone informed me after we did a podcast. The reason we know this is the digital price is more expensive because that's what the developers want to sell the game for. But when they give it to Game, or they give it to Tesco, or they give it to Sainsbury's or Walmart, they will then mark it down. It's up to those people that will mark it down. So that's why Game might only have it for £50.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, and that might be the case with this game as well. It might be $70, but Walmart might go, we're going to sell it for $60. Because they bought it off them for $70. You know, they bought it off wherever they bought them off. It's up to them how they mark that down. But there has been another bit of the article, which is Microsoft have come across and basically said, well, with our smart delivery, we want sort of guarantees from developers that whatever the price is for the Xbox One, say which we already know, like FIFA, you'll buy in October for the Xbox One, it will just transfer over to the Xbox Series X with an upgrade for free.
Yeah, which is the right thing to do.
And the same with Cyberpunk, and the same with Assassins, and the same with a few other games as well. But I think Microsoft want to go to developers and guarantee that. That's the rumor at the moment. That's the discussion at the moment. Do you think they've got right to do that? Do you think they can do that? I mean, they can do it with their own parties, but is it hard? It's hard to do it with third-party games.
You know what I'm asking? but whether they want to do that.
Yeah.
I think they'll get a few disgruntled partners in that case. Because no one wants to say, you know that money you're going to get on the next gen? Just maybe don't get it. Just give it for free. They're not going to be happy with that. But hopefully they'll jump on board.
I mean, it's hard, isn't it? Because we will get used to, you know, this all depends on, as well, what the trade-in market's going to happen with the new consoles as well. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with places like Game, or what's the other place that people trade in? What's the place that you trade in? Yeah. We don't know what's going to happen with them. Are they going to survive? Are they going
to... Because they're trying to go digital, aren't they?
Yeah. So that makes a big difference. So it... You know, in a sense, sometimes when games are more expensive, this is my own personal thing, like when you got those, but your trading would be more expensive. You'll get a lot more back as well.
Not necessarily, because those places like Game and CEX, they don't really give you much for what you're selling.
But what I mean is, if I buy The Last of Us now, I bought The Last of Us, say, for £50 from somewhere, and then I go to game and I trade it, and I will get probably £30 on the high end of that because of that game. And it's only, what, 2 or 3 weeks to trade it in.
Yeah, if you trade it relatively soon
after obtaining the game,
then yes. Then yes.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a sense that that kind of does balance itself out. But it's hard at the moment. Anyone in this financial climate where we are at the moment, we're heading into, it's hard to, any increase is not probably a good thing. It's a risk as well. It's a risk. Let's do one more. Let's chat about one more. Let's go for, oh, let's talk about this, which is, it's The Last of Us 2 again. And it's Laura Bailey, who voices one of the characters called Abby. Without going into the story stuff, what's happened here? James Wecker?
James. I was going to say, is this because of certain story decisions that were made? Is she getting the brain for it? Or is that Ash?
I think that's what's happening, This goes back to me talking about people, fans saying this is not the story why I like it to be. But actually, then it takes it one step further when they start to blame the...
Well, not just blame, but they outright threatened her and her kid, her family.
Wow.
Takes me too far.
That's... Wow. I read those tweets that she posted. She made a screen cap of all the nasty stuff that she received on Twitter, and it was literally death threats because she portrayed a character in a video game. She didn't write that character.
Yeah.
She wasn't in any way involved in how the character was formed. She just voiced her. That's it.
Yeah.
These people just need to realize that it's just a game. I mean, if you don't like a decision, don't play it.
And by the way, Neil Druckmann was threatened and like barraged with racial slurs and whatnot. Neil Druckmann as well.
Ridiculous.
It's mad, isn't it? This, it does go back to, it just goes back to people having this, it becomes their license. It's like Neil Druckmann and that team created that world.
Mm.
If they wanted to burn it down, it would be fine. if they wanted to go, we're doing, so it's up to them. They own that license.
Yeah,
because you buy into it and watch it doesn't mean you own it. Doesn't mean you can change it. You can be a fan. And this is the kind of line people have. This is the problem we have, because people want to encourage people. You know, the whole point of when something gets sold, you know, if you're selling something, every company will ask for your feedback. They want your feedback. They want your feedback. They want your thoughts. They want you to be part of the community. It's like those guys in the EA conference from Skate going, you made this happen. You're the people who made this game happen. Without you guys, you willed this into action. Sometimes that has a negative effect, because that sometimes the gaming communities are really strong and they're really lovely and they're really generous, and it's, we hear loads of amazing stuff of what happens to gaming communities, especially in the RPG and Warcraft world. It's amazing. But there are a small segment of people who take that too far and think they're the ones, you're ruining my life by making those decisions.
Yeah, it's one thing criticizing a decision. It's another thing going over the top and harassing people.
Wait, it's like, remember the Call of Duty? Yeah, it's like the Call of Duty. Remember Call of Duty? This was about 3 or 4 years ago. The Call of Duty changed, the makers of that thing changed, I think it might be one of the Black Ops games. They changed the guns. Weapons. Yeah, right, something about I don't know what happened to those guns. It's like your shoot rate or whatever. It's like they changed it from 0.6 to 0.8. That's it. They put it down by a point or something. One of the developers got bullets sent through the post to them saying, you're next.
Wow.
Because they did that.
Wait, was that with Call of Duty or was that with Battlefield?
Oh, God, yeah. Maybe it could be Battlefield. I thought it was Call of Duty. I thought it was Black Ops in my head. That's what I've got in my head.
Because I thought I heard something like that regarding Battlefield.
Could be Battlefield, yeah.
But I'm not sure either.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think it's about where we are now. I think we've got this point now with Twitter. You know, I really believe, you know, we should know who you are on Twitter. You shouldn't be anonymous. It should be, you know, you can't be sending stuff out like that. I just don't.
There will come a day, I'm pretty sure, when you're no longer anonymous, not just on Twitter, but across the internet.
Mm.
Like, if you say something stupid, if you say something threatening or provocative,
mm-hmm.
everyone knows where you are, and the FBI will come knocking on your door and root out every moron and every psycho.
Mm.
Put them behind bars.
There we go. There we go. We've covered that. Thank you very much. This is it. Then we've done. We're at the end. What do you think about that? Let's say what we're looking forward to next week. What have you got, Edgar?
Search for an article which is due at the start of August, which is based on the National Underwear Day.
No, I think we missed the first part of it. I get it cut out for some reason. So I think it's the internet. What are you? Is it? What's your thing you're looking forward to? Can you say?
Oh, so I've been doing research for an article which is due in August, based on the National Underwear Day.
Right.
So for some reason, I thought, I wonder if Jeff Goldblum has a day. Like, it just popped into my head. And turns out that he does.
Wow.
The Council of Pittsburgh, I don't know when, but they announced that the 13th of July is officially a Jeff Goldblum day.
Oh, nice.
Which basically celebrates everything Jeff Goldblum. His movies, his work, himself. I found it so funny.
That's great.
It just popped into my head.
I like that. So 13th of July, we'll be celebrating Jeff Goldblum Day.
Yeah, right after the Ubisoft
great.
Event.
Great. Good.
Pretty much.
Looking forward to that now.
Good. Yeah. James, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
There's a new TV series coming to Netflix next week called Hotel Del Luna. And it's about a hotel that only caters for ghosts. So that'll be an interesting one. It's a fantasy comedy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good, right? Good. I'm going to say two things, and this is not my game, but a lot of people like it. The game the Formula One game is out this Friday, I think. Maybe I've got that wrong. It's out this week. I think it's on the 10th. And a lot of people love that. Neil has written a review and he's given it 5 out of 5. Mm. So big Formula One fans, have a look at that. I can never get out of the pits. So that's as far as I got with those games.
You'll get there one day.
One day. And there's a film on Netflix called The Old Guard that's coming out on Friday with Charlize Theron. And that looks really interesting. She plays a group of immortals whose secret gets found out. That looks great. And that's it, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Edgar, where can we find you if we want to get hold of you?
Instagram, Twitter, Edgar Wolf.
Great. James?
Yep, Instagram and Twitter at OKDUKO.
And you can find me on Twitter, GB Briley, and on Twitch for GB Briley if you want to join me there. But also, please like and subscribe. Go to the Xbox Hub.
Give us some feedback.
Yeah, feedback. We like it. We like the comments that come in. So please do that. And we'll see you on Monday, very soon, on the 13th. Brilliant. Thank you. And I'll see you later on. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the official podcast of the XboxHub.com. You'll be able to find all the notes of this show at www.thexboxhub.com/podcast. You can also check out our social feeds on Instagram and Twitter at the Xbox Hub, and search the Xbox Hub on Facebook.